Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations. In this lesson, I want to focus on, I believe, in Jesus's example to us of how we are supposed to minister to people, and especially to people that don't know Him. I'm going to turn, if you have your Bibles, I want to turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at the encounter that Jesus had with a woman of Samaria at the well. Love this account. I believe it captures the essence of really how Jesus did ministry, and for us, it's really the same exact thing. So I'm going to begin at verse 4 of chapter 4 of John. It said, but he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Shechar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, to sit by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's probably around noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Now, let me just give you a little background. If you can picture Israel, years before, after David and Solomon's reign, they broke up into the northern tribes and southern tribes, and it was basically Israel and Judah. And what had happened over the years is that because of their backsliding, they obviously were taken captive, and then when they returned, the northern part was now called Samaria. They had intermarried. They had still kept up a lot of their idolatry, and it was just there was a huge separation. So when we're talking about this, what he's saying, he had to go through Samaria. If you picture again your map, Israel and Jerusalem, Jesus is going through, this would be Samaria, to get to Galilee, and where much of his ministry occurred. And so he had to go through Samaria. Now, they really had no dealings with each other. The Jews considered them to be outcast. Samaritans obviously picked that up and didn't like the Jews. And so there's a lot of issues. Remember, one of the stories that Jesus tells is the Good Samaritan. He only uses that term because, again, they disliked the Samaritans a lot. I'm sure the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. So when you have this setting, when Jesus is walking through, and remember, he's been walking probably, he's tired, and he's sitting by this well, and really what she says is, look, I'm a woman of Samaria. How are you talking to me? You're a Jew. And that's just have no dealings at all. There's no communication at all. And verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, I want to walk through these verses and point out some things here. Number one is, you realize that Jesus is the gift of God. He is a gift. God, though, loved the world that he gave us his most treasured gift. He gave us himself in Jesus, and Jesus gave himself, and Jesus given us the Holy Spirit. God is a giver, and he is the greatest gift there is. Jesus is, even though he's tired, even though he's wearied, so much so that he wouldn't go into town with the rest of his disciples to get food, he is always on in the Spirit. And what I mean is that what he's trying to model for us is how that we work, we get involved in all kinds of things and activities, and you've got job, you've got work, driving in traffic, you've got kids, and you've got different requirements, but he's always on in the Spirit. And he's modeling for us how we can live in the same way. He's tired. He was sitting there, but the moment that he saw the Samaritan woman, he's talking in the Spirit, and she's obviously, you know, the woman said to him, verse 11, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get this living water? She's just in the natural. She's just going, what are you talking about? And then she goes, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, said to her, whoever drinks of this water, and remember, he's sitting there at the well. He's looking at this well, and the dialogue, and she's standing there, and he's going, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. Now, picture this. I mean, he's still talking spirit. Jesus is talking spiritual language. The woman is in the natural, looking at the well going, but what are you talking about? I mean, I came here to draw water. You asked for a drink, and somehow we're not communicating on the same plane. Woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not come here to draw. I mean, she's going, hey, that sounds like a good deal to me. I got to come up here and draw this water. If I don't have to do that, that'd be really good. That'd be super. And so the woman again said, verse 15, woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one of whom you have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Now again, Jesus is not condemning her. He hath what is referred to as a word of knowledge. He has revelation by the Spirit of information about the woman that he could not know in the natural. Now, on the other hand, I point out some things here. For a woman going to draw water in the midday, which this, again, it said it was about the sixth hour, which is probably about noon, for a woman by herself drawing water, immediately you would know that there's somewhat of an outcast. Because the women would typically draw water. They would all go out in the mornings, and they would draw water and come back. And so with her by herself, he probably knows something just in the natural, knows there's something there that, But we're the same way. We're around people all the time that, you know, you just pick up things in the natural. You just know that there's characteristics, there's bad behavior, there's different issues going on. You can pick up when people are upset. You can pick up when people are all kinds of things. So it's not like you have to be so spiritual, but at the same time, you have to be tuned in. And that's what Jesus is. He's tuned in. So he's tuned in to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, you'll call your husband. I don't have a husband. He goes, that's right. You've had five husbands. The one you're with now is not your husband. It wasn't a condemning thing. What he was doing is by the Spirit, he was activating something that's beyond the normal, natural. He's been talking in the Spirit the whole time, but she is not. What God is modeling for us, what Jesus is modeling, is that we'll stay in the Spirit, and we're looking for an opportunity to share with someone to get them to get out of the natural and into a spirit realm also, so that you can share with them the truth. The woman says in verse 19, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, let me, again, I'm commenting as we go along here. The real issue is that every time I've ever shared with someone, when I start talking about Jesus, I start talking about salvation or anything that has to do with the Bible, it's amazing how people get religious on you. They'll be immediately go, well, I'm a this or I'm a that. I go to this church. I go to that church. Well, that's what this woman is doing too. She immediately says, I perceive you're a prophet. And she begins to say, oh, our fathers worshiped on this mountain. You Jews say that Jerusalem is the place. Now, let me just point out, Jesus is making it very clear that relationship with him is not about a place. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about an encounter with the living God. Verse 21 said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, again, what he's saying here is that he doesn't mince any words. He's not saying that, you know, hey, we worship, well, you know, you guys sort of have what you worship, and we sort of, no, he said, look, you're wrong, and we know we're worshiping the true God. having lunch with a guy one day, and this was years ago in business, and I was talking to him, and he was just, you know, it was a business luncheon. And he said, "Hey, tell me what's been going on." I said, "Okay." I said, "I had just had this encounter with the Lord, changed my life." This is way back in the 80s. And I just said, "You know, I had an encounter that God changed my life. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ and changed my life." He goes, "Well, that's really good." He said, "You know, I believe there are many trains and many ways to go, and they all lead to the same place." And I said, "Well, the Bible says, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through him." So that ended our luncheon. You know, people don't necessarily want to hear the truth, but the reality is that, no, there is one way. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he is the only way to the Father. So Jesus didn't mince any words either. And he said, "You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews," verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is." So he said that 2,000 years ago. So that means it now is now. "The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, we're talking about worship here. We're talking about a adoration. We're not talking about a style. We're talking about a wholehearted turning to him. And what's so interesting about this is that he said this is the hour when true worshipers, those that are completely tuned into God, the Father, you have to worship in spirit and truth. It's not just truth, because that can be intellectual. It's not just spirit, because you can be by your emotions and whatever else, but it's spirit and truth. And this is what God is wanting us to do, is to acknowledge him, to worship him. I have people that will come up to me and say, "Pastor, I have a hard time connecting to God. I don't know. I feel like I'm praying, and it's just like brass heavens." And I go, "Well, my Bible says that he's looking for worshipers. So why don't you start worshiping him? And I have a feeling he'll find you." See, a lot of times we think we have to do something for him. No, the reality is he's done something for us. And what we try to do is that I think, "Oh, I've either done something bad, or I hadn't done something good," or all these kind of things. No, the reality is that he's looking for people, not looking for, it's not a place. When we communicate Christ, he's looking for a relationship. He loves us. He can't love us any more than going to the cross and dying for us. So he loves us. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to give him our wholehearted attention and blessing, and bless him and worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ." So they obviously had some understanding of what the prophets had said. "When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Can you imagine what this woman must have? I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, he just said he is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the one that we've heard about, the one that we've don't know anything about, but we've heard about. She had an encounter with the living Christ. Everybody needs an encounter with the living Christ. It's not a religion, it's not a place, it's a person. And God is wanting us to know that we get the privilege of sharing, and we can help people connect to him. It's not about praying a prayer. It's not about going to heaven. It's about a relationship with the living God. He is looking for worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, verse 27, this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, especially a Samaritan woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Now, isn't it amazing? One encounter. She had one encounter with Christ. She forgot what she was there for, and she immediately went in the city to where I know she had to be somewhat of an outcast. And she went in and started telling all the people there and said, "He told me all the things I've ever done." I'm not sure I really want to tell everybody all the things I've ever done. you know. But this encounter with her so changed her life that that's what we're talking about. God is wanting to change our lives. So it's not about me any longer. It's not about what I did. It's not about what was done to me. It's not about anything. It's about Him. I'm so captivated by Him. And she was captivated by Christ. She goes into a place that were more than likely, it doesn't say it here, so I'm putting that in there, but more than likely she was probably well known. It said she'd had five husbands and one she's with now. I mean, we're not talking about a big place here. So that's not a lot of, all the people probably knew everybody. And so could this be the Christ? And then they went out of the city and they came to him. Verse 31 says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to him, to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? Now, I love this. Jesus is always in the Spirit. And we, so many of the times, we're not. And I mean, neither were his disciples. They're going, hey, why don't you eat? And he goes, I have food to eat. You don't know about. And then they go, did somebody bring him some food? You know, and then Jesus said to them, my food is to the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What is that work? That is bringing salvation to people. That is being light and salt. That is being a representative of heaven. That's our assignment. That's our work. That was his work. And it's our work also. And so he said, this is my food. And then verse 35, it says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are ripe. They're already white for harvest. Now, I've made this comment many times. I've shared before. More than likely, Jesus is standing looking at a field that's probably 4 months into harvest. Now, again, I grew up on the farm, and I know that when you could tell whether we were growing cotton or whether we were growing wheat or milo or corn or whatever, you could pretty well tell, okay, the fields are white under harvest or they're not. They're 4 months away or there's 2 months or whatever. This is not some magical mystery. And so I'm confident. It doesn't say this again. I'm speculating on this. But I'm not so sure Jesus didn't look over there and say, you say these fields are still 4 months into harvest. I'm telling you, the fields, lift up your eyes and look. These fields are ripe into harvest right now. Now, again, I'm reading between the lines here, but I'm sure they're sitting over going, that's why you're a carpenter and not a farmer, because these fields are still 4 months into harvest. What he's saying is he quit looking just in the natural. We have a tendency to look in the natural and say, well, that person's lost, or that person's hard, or that person's having a hard time, or this, or this, or this, instead of in the spirit realm, tapping into the power of the Spirit and into, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Because what he's saying is that, guys, don't look in the natural. In the Spirit, the fields are ripe to harvest. So even right now, where we are in the United States, a lot of times I've heard people say, ooh, it's really hard. I've talked about going to nations. I've been in nations, and people say, well, it's really hard here, really hard. In the natural, it is. In the Spirit, I'm telling you, the fields are ripe to harvest. People are ready for an encounter with the living God. People want to know the real Jesus. And so he goes on to say, he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For if this thing is true, one sows, another reaps, I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Now, again, another story. After the Iron Curtain came down in 89, Nani had a chance to go to Romania, and we went over there in a group, took a group of people, of 30-something people, in the early 90s to do street evangelism. We were working with pastors there locally, and we took sound systems, and we took all the equipment, generators, so that we could do evangelism open air. And we went out into what was called the mall area, but those were open areas in the shopping areas. And we would set up, and there were a team of us, and somebody would we'd sing a song we learned in Romanian. We'd sing, and then we would share testimony of Jesus Christ. And then we'd say, if anybody wants to receive Jesus, would you raise your hand? And we would, so the sound system, you could probably have 300 to 400 people that they could hear, and they would stop and listen to us. And again, probably being Americans, and probably because we didn't sing in Romanian very, very, very good, they could probably were wondering what was going on. But these people would raise their hand, and we would lead them to the Lord. And then we'd give them cards, and they could, for the churches that were locally meeting. Went to 4 different cities, and we did this a number of times each day in those cities for a couple of weeks. And that they would raise their hand all the way across. And so finally, one of our guys said, I wonder if they understand, if they really understand what's going on, why don't we have them kneel down? Now, this is in a public area. And so he said, when he prayed, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, kneel down. And people just knelt down all over the place. And it's like, wow. We saw thousands of people become born again. It had them get into local churches. Hopefully they did. But the reality is that this verse came to light. Hey, we were reaping something we didn't sow. Somebody else had prayed. Mamas and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and people had prayed and prayed and prayed. And we got to get in on that. So the point here is that the fields are ripe to harvest right now. Wherever you live, wherever you are, lift up your eyes and look and see. Some of your relatives and some of your neighbors and some of the people you work with, listen, they're hurting and they're needy. The only answer is Jesus Christ. Now, this is what goes on. Verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So the Samaritans had come to him. They urged him to stay with them, and they stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. A woman, life changed, was able to be instrumental in seeing lives changed. Isn't that amazing? This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in the Spirit, by the Spirit. He wants us to be sensitive to the world we live in. So I want to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God would help us to understand that this is not just some story that Jesus did. This is what he modeled for us, that we can live this exact same way. So, Father, we love you and we bless you and we thank you. We thank you for your great grace. We thank you for your salvation that you've given to us. And what I just ask, Lord, is you'd help all of us to become sensitive to your promptings, sensitive to the world around us. Help us to not just look in the natural, but help us to see in the Spirit. Help us to see beyond ourselves and help us to be a blessing. Lord, help us to be those that would help people connect to you. Lord, help us to really see that the world we live in, these fields are ripe to harvest right now. Help us to engage people because it's not only your work, but it's our work too. So, Lord, I pray blessings upon everybody that's watching. I pray you'd help us to really be light and salt to the world around us. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we are so grateful and thankful for your amazing grace that you poured out upon us. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for watching this series. We have a number of series, and I want to ask you to go to our website, Advanced Biblical Foundations. We've got a number of things there, and I encourage you everything we've got, I'd encourage you to watch. Watch it, and then lead a group. Lead some people. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody or at your home. But whatever, you get so much more out of everything by first watching what's being shared and then taking it, showing it, and then discussing it and then wrestling with it. The Word of God is living. There's never an end to it. It's just alive because Jesus is the Word. So I pray it's a blessing to you. I encourage you to go to our website. And if it's a blessing to you, tell somebody else about it. Get somebody else to watch. Encourage people. Go here to this website. If it's a blessing to you, I encourage you to help us financially. It would be great. The more that we're able to produce and to translate into various languages, print into various books. All takes money, and we appreciate your helping so that we can help others. So God bless you. Thank you so much, and just be blessed as you get into the Word and let the Word get into you.